A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to episode 2 of British Invaders. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we will be talking about Star Cops. This is Brian from Winnipeg.
And hi, this is Xander from England.
Star Cops was a series from the late 1980s that took place in the near future, sometime in the mid-21st century. It featured a small police force that was located in space, in Earth orbit, and on places like the moon. And the series dealt with the day-to-day operations and the adventures and the crime-solving that was done by these police officers who were jokingly called the Star Cops.
Yeah, Star Cops was a hard science fiction show, and in that it didn't deal with aliens and more the fantastic elements of science fiction. It was very much a police procedural drama, but it just happened to be set in space rather than on Earth.
It should also be noted, just for clarity, that we are not talking about the mid-1990s show that had rubber-faced aliens wearing police uniforms and guys running around in spaceships that looked like police cars and all of that. That was a Gerry Anderson show called Space Precinct. And Star Cops was a very different show that was earlier and dealt with a very different version of the future.
Star Cops was shown in the summer of 1987. It ran for 9 episodes, and it was on the BBC. In the UK, and it was on Monday nights, mostly at 8:30, but actually one was much later at nearly 10 o'clock, I think due to sport or something. It didn't get amazing ratings. It peaked at 3 million, and the last episode only just got over 1 million. It was created by Chris Boucher, who had been the script editor on Blake 7, which is a reasonably famous BBC show. And he was also a writer for Doctor Who as well, I believe. He has said that it was the BBC considered it as a replacement for Star Cops, as a replacement for Blake 7, because Blake 7 had recently finished and they may have been looking for another science fiction show. As for what else was going on in science fiction at the time, Doctor Who was on BBC, and that was BBC's probably most famous science fiction show, and that was between the Colin Baker Doctor, who just finished, and that autumn the Sylvester McCoy Doctor was going to start. And the sort of viewing figures for comparison that Doctor Who was getting at this time was about 5 million viewers. The other thing to note in the United States that Star Trek The Next Generation would start that September, so I guess it probably was in production at the time.
I think at this point science fiction on British television was on the wane, if anything. Doctor Who was only a couple of years away from being cancelled. I think they did 3 more seasons after that. And there were not that many things happening in science fiction on TV at the time. And it's also worth noting that while they talked about it being a replacement for Blake 7, and Chris Boucher actually said that it was being considered a replacement for Blake 7, it was actually about 5 years after Blake 7 had finished, and it didn't have much in common with Blake 7, other than the fact that it was set in space. So that's kind of an interesting jump to say that it's a replacement for Blake 7. But apparently that is actually what the BBC had said at the time.
Yeah, well, maybe they think all SF is the same. Or the powers that be thought that.
That's probably true, too.
The galaxy is an immense place. I, your precognitive meeting planner, will guide you through this expanse, introducing you to the aliens you will meet. The Aliens You Will Meet podcast is available at aliensyouwillmeet.libsyn.com and wherever fine podcasts are available. Aliens You Will Meet podcast at aliensyouwillmeet.libsyn.com.
Star Cops was set in 2047, and the setting was an interesting one because it is not that different from the present. While they've certainly gone into space much more in it, it is very much along the lines of things that almost could be done now and are just a little ways off in the technology and the implementation of spaceflight. It was set with the International Space Police Force, which was jokingly called the Star Cops. People joked about these guys because there was so little being done in space. At this point, this version of the future has a bunch of space stations being used for government and commercial purposes, and a base on the moon, and they're just barely getting things going with a base on Mars, and a few shuttles going around between these things, much of it commercial. But in this situation, having a police force is something that people laughed at because there was so little for them to police. But the series showed how it really was worth policing. And it's in the beginning of the series, they had just a couple of part-time people on the police force, and then the main character comes in, takes over, and launches a much more full and complete police service. And that is what becomes the heart of the series. And things take place on space stations and shuttles, and as the series went on, a lot of it is on the moon base. And they used a lot of conceptual designs that were being pitched from NASA and McDonnell Douglas and so on, and they used a lot of things that were quite closely attached to what, at the time, could be done fairly soon, at least so we thought.
The characters in Star Cops were an interesting and varied group. The new commander, which Brian has already mentioned, is a character called Nathan Spring, and he was basically a good and old-fashioned cop on the ground in the UK, and he was sort of manoeuvred into becoming the head of the International Space Police Force against his will, almost to get him out of the way because he was causing too much trouble down on Earth. And although eventually he got more interested in the job as the series went on, his number two was an American character called David Theroux, who again seemed a bit pit upon and not necessarily happy about doing the policing job again to go into it. There's a female Australian called Pal Kenzie, who was initially actually corrupt and almost got thrown out of the police force, but in fact stayed on for various reasons which are revealed. And another character which joined the series after, I think, a couple of episodes is Colin Davis, who is another British cop, and he was a rather crude and sexist, even more old-fashioned cop than Nathan Spring, although he actually was pretty good at his job, so actually was a good sidekick to Nathan. And there's a few other characters as well, but those were the main ones.
It was a nice set of characters because there was quite a bit of conflict between the characters. They were very different. It had a nice international feel, and the actors, most of them were actually from the countries that the characters were from, which was nice to have it not be forced.
Yeah.
The episodes were generally about 50 minutes long, and it was sort of a police mystery style, but not quite your average structure for a mystery program, which was nice. The main characters were competent, but they often bungled through things a little bit to a certain extent, and things became very political often. The shows were more complex than you might expect, which was nice.
Yeah, it wasn't just like murder at the beginning and then them trying to do forensics to find out who did it and catch them, like in some procedural dramas these days. It was often much more complicated than that, and there wasn't always necessarily a murder involved, and the person that initially was the suspect may not have been the person behind it. And quite often, even if there was a murderer, there was a much bigger political or commercial intrigue going on behind the story. So the stories were actually quite complex plots, and quite often I think as Brian said the Star Cops didn't really work what was going on until quite near the end of the episode.
Like many of the series that we will talk about and that we have talked about, the highlight of Star Cops is the writing.
Yeah.
I have some news for you. That job with the International Space Police Force,
hasn't that been filled yet?
Now, I realize, we all realize, that you applied for it as a way of testing the water, as a way of finding out what you were worth, and reminding us, if we needed reminding, that you're not ready to settle in the particular niche in which you find yourself. Now, I can understand that.
Seems reasonable that you should, sir. It was your suggestion that I apply.
Was it? I don't remember.
Oh, yes, you were quite insistent, as I recall.
It was in your best interest.
So you do remember?
I've just been notified. You're on the shortlist. Congratulations.
Shortlist?
And I shall use all the influence I can muster to ensure that you get that job.
That's very kind of you, sir, but actually I don't want that job.
Yes, you do, Nathan. Of course you do.
I withdraw my name straight away.
Not a good idea. A very bad idea, in fact.
Why?
Well, in the first place, you're the only Brit left. It wouldn't look good to pull out before the final adjudication.
Well, I didn't realize it was an event in multimedia sport. Tell me, do I wear a sponsor's logo?
And it carries a rank that you're very unlikely to reach down here. Commander, International Space Police Force. Got a certain ring to it?
A fairly hollow ring given a force of 20 so part-timers, unaffectionately termed the Star Cops.
That was a cheap journalistic jibe.
Stuck, though, didn't it?
Star Cops was a innovative series in quite a few ways. It did things in 1987 that were unusual then, but are now quite common in modern science fiction TV shows. For example, as we mentioned in passing, there were no aliens, and the whole setup was very much trying to be realistic. Obviously it was science fiction, but it was realistic science fiction. Space was silent. There was zero gravity on the space stations, which they reasonably attempted to recreate using wire work and other techniques in the first couple of episodes, although I think they moved on to the moon base due to problems in redoing that. As we mentioned, the main characters were realistic, flawed people who argued with each other and, you know, acted more like real people than the sort of standard stereotyped characters you had in other shows. There was a death of a major character early on in the series, which certainly when you first met this character, you thought they were going to be a recurring, continual presence, but in fact they say they got killed off, and that was one of the plots of one of the episodes. As we mentioned, the cops are definitely not infallible Sherlock Holmes types who sort of know what more of what's going on than the audience. They definitely are blundering their way through to a bit until they eventually work out what's going on. The other main thing, as we mentioned, is the quality of the writing is very good, and the scripts are very witty and full of amusing one-liners between the various characters.
One thing that I enjoyed was that the pace of the shows and the scripts are actually quite quick. You know, we often talk about the pacing plot-wise of British series being a little on the slow side, and in many cases that's true. And in this case, I would say it really isn't. For you know, a roughly 50-minute show, each show has about one more major plot twist than I would expect to see in a one-hour show these days. Even a show of similar length, because it is a little longer than some one-hour TV slot shows are now. But that was something that I always enjoyed, because there'd be an extra twist when I wasn't expecting one.
Yeah, I mean, basically the plots are involved plots, so they have to keep, to fit the plot into a 50-minute slot, they have to keep going. They can't hang around, can they?
Yes, and it has quite a bit of very quick dialogue in it. One thing I thought they did very well was bringing out the sense that these people are forced to live together and work together in a very confined small space, and they drive each other a little bit nuts. And
yeah,
that's something very realistic to see, that crammed together and having to live and work together, they get in each other's nerves a little bit, which is what you'd expect. Yeah. And you don't see that portrayed as well in too many other series. That was something I enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, none of the characters are totally whiter than white. I mean, even Nathan Spring, who's sort of the hero, well, as he is the hero, he snaps and is abusive to his partners on the occasion when they wind him up. Another thing that was innovative was the other sort of technological improvements, plot points that were brought up, which are predicted things which are current today. One of the episodes was about computer viruses, which I don't think, certainly they weren't popular knowledge at the time when I saw the program back in 1987. There was a program about intelligent eavesdropping, where you basically listen to everything that's on the internet, although they didn't call it the internet in those days, and try and pick out messages between terrorists. And there was another episode which covered uranium smuggling, which again is still a worry these days.
And they covered things like cloning as well. The interesting thing was that they had a mixture of those types of things and the political intrigue. You didn't know if the main theme that comes out at the end of the episode would be something like murder or theft or political manipulation, or something like cloning or intelligent data mining of information. And that was a neat mix that you didn't know which type of thing you were going to get.
Yeah, I mean, quite often there was like the typical A plot and B plot, and by the end of the program, actually you find they're all part of one bigger plot, but certainly at the beginning there's often two separate investigations going on. And in fact, I think in this one episode, is that one of the problems is that the staff cots aren't really talking to each other, and if they actually had discussed their two cases, they would have solved things a lot quicker. But they, end up getting with pressure of the work and stress, they were just doing their own little jobs and not talking enough.
The writing to meld the A story into the B story was better in Star Cops than I've seen it in most other shows, I would say, that try to do that.
Yeah.
Star Cops had very nice portrayal of international tension and politics, mainly because most of the series was set on the moon base. The first couple episodes were on a space station, which had some more of the zero gravity stuff and that sort of thing. But most of it was on the moon base, and you had the main characters coming from Britain and the United States and Australia. And then you had the governor of the station was Alexander Kravenko, who was Russian. and you would have various other people involved, and there was some real tension between people from different countries. And especially when Kravenko would come into it, there was definite tension there. And Star Cops is a little bit dated in this respect, because while Kravenko was just stated as being Russian, it was pretty clear that it was Soviet communist Russia that they were talking about.
Yeah.
It made for an interesting situation, because you had Kravenko very much on coming from his point of view, and Nathan Spring coming from his point of view, and they came to respect each other a lot and deal with each other quite well personally, but they always knew that at the end of the day, Kravenko was more or less going to have to report to the Russians, and Spring was more or less going to have to report to the British and the Americans, even though they're working for international coalitions. That type of tension was very present in there, with a lot of Cold War aspects to it, but even so with that, it was still a good realization of that type of tension.
Yeah, but one thing to point out is that both the British and the US governments, or at least part of them, were portrayed in not particularly good light in a couple of the episodes as well, so it wasn't like a cliche Cold War thing where the West was good and the Russians were the baddies. It was very much more complicated than that.
I don't think anyone was portrayed in a consistently good, or certainly in a consistently good light in Star Cops. I guess a few characters here and there were portrayed in a consistently bad light, but very few characters or organizations were consistently always good in Star Cops, and that was something that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like most bureaucracies had some corruption in them, whoever was running them.
That's right. Something else they had in here that I found kind of interesting was the view of computers. The way they dealt with computers was quite interesting, because you had a lot of police officers who would look at computer models or expert systems and say, this is what the computer says, and that must be the result. There can't be anything else. And Nathan Spring consistently disliked that way of doing things, and he didn't like computers doing your thinking for you, and would frequently criticize people for doing that and say, well, we should look at what the models say and then think about it our own way. And he talked about his instinct a lot, even though his instinct tended to be based on logic quite a bit. What made it interesting was that despite this, Nathan Spring would rely on computers a lot himself. Particularly, he had a talking computer called Box that he used for gathering information and doing all sorts of things frequently. This was interesting to see. It was nice how they had the criticism of computers, but at the same time, very much a sense of, well, they're still really useful, and we don't want to throw at everything. It was just a nice thing that was slipped in there.
Tell me, when a crime occurs, how do you set about solving it?
Well, I guess that would
depend on the crime.
Yeah. Inspector Colin Davis, Dr. Alexander Kravenko. Dr. Kravenko's our
new moon base coordinator. Yes, I know. And a new spaceman, too, I think.
Well, I have worked in the field of space medicine for many years.
Yeah, but you've never been out here before.
I have come late to it. You have yourself, have you not?
You know about my background?
Us, you, no mine.
Yes, so like Colin said, sir, it would depend upon the crime.
Yes, well, let us take a hypothetical example. Kidnapping.
For ransom?
For politics.
Well, that's not a very common crime out here for any reason.
That's why I chose it.
Well, I suppose we need to discover the purpose behind the crime.
Oh, not necessarily. Crime's a crime.
And in the case of a kidnapping, the purpose would be obvious,
yes,
surely.
If the disappearance were accompanied by a demand.
Well, let us assume a kidnapping with a demand for money. What is your first move?
Now, we said that Star Cops only lasted 9 episodes, which is obviously only one season, one series. and not very long for a series. There are a few reasons that happened. One was that, well, the ratings just weren't all that good. It was also not a great time for science fiction in the UK, certainly for science fiction on the BBC. At that point, they were only a few years, 2 or 3 years away from canceling Doctor Who, and they were not starting very many new shows, especially science fiction dramas. So it was not the best time for science fiction in the UK. It was also, unfortunately, not the best time slot that it was put in. While the quality of the shows were generally good, and it did have a reasonable audience, the time slot was a little bit late for that type of show. You know, it was showing at 8:30, which is not too late, but generally science fiction shows in Britain tended to be more 7 o'clock or late afternoon. One episode of Star Cops, they even had it almost 10 o'clock in the evening. So that time slot problem obviously was a big part of it. And in the end, it did not do well enough to warrant a second series, which was unfortunate.
That one late episode lost a lot of viewing figures and a lot of viewers, and they never came back, even on the episodes which were at the earlier time slot again. So that might have been part of it. And basically throughout the series, the viewers seem to drop with time, which isn't a good sign for any show, I guess. One other thing to point out is that the original schedule for the first series was to have 10 episodes, but there was a strike at the BBC which prevented them from being able to do an episode, and I think they basically pulled forward the 10th episode and made it the 9th, and cancelled the 9th episode, so there are now only 9 episodes which were ever made. They didn't even start making this lost episode, so that's why only 9 episodes rather than 10.
It's unfortunate that episode was not made. Apparently it was actually a country house mystery, which would have been interesting, the classic sort of Agatha Christie idea of a bunch of characters in one place and they're gradually killed off before you finally find out who is murdering them. It would have been interesting to see that, and that's what the missing episode that was not made actually was.
Yeah, apparently it was well, at least the design was based around the game Cluedo, which I think is called Clue in the United States.
Yes, it is.
And I think the different characters or suspects were dressed or even called names which were similar to the colours of the characters in the game. So that was another thing which would have been interesting. Whether it would have actually worked is another matter, but certainly it sounded like an interesting concept for a show.
At any rate, Star Cops was a good show in the wrong place at the wrong time, perhaps, or the wrong time slot and the wrong year. So, unfortunately, it was not continued beyond a single series.
Yeah. And it certainly was an ambitious show, because they did really try to make the effects and the sets realistic, as we discussed before. And now, they didn't always succeed, and it was on the typical small BBC budget, but I think especially the model shots of the space stations and spaceships are actually pretty impressive and stand up reasonably well today. The zero-G work, which they tried on the first few episodes, was a bit hit and miss, and obviously, again, that was very expensive and took a lot of time to set up, and that's probably why they sort of reduced the amount to, well, zero, I think, actually, in the end. I think the first couple of episodes had it, and then later on they didn't really use it
at all. They did continue doing some zero-gravity work. It was just a smaller amount of it, and it was much less ambitious. They did a lot of it in the first couple. But I think at this point, late 80s, the BBC was realizing that you couldn't cut budgets too small for science fiction series. You could have a moderate budget, but you couldn't have the low budgets like you had for Blake 7 and Doctor Who in the 70s and early 80s and so on. you had to give them a bit more. They realized that people were starting to demand things that looked quote unquote better.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit of a high budget from the BBC's perspective, which is probably part of the reason that it was not continued, because it was in fact fairly ambitious in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, certainly thinking about that autumn, Next Generation came along. Okay, that didn't interfere in the UK for another year or so, but that sort of had its $1 million per episode budget or whatever, and obviously that's way out of the league that the BBC could afford at the time. Probably even these days would have trouble affording on a continuous basis on a long-running series.
I am Alexander Krivenko. I look forward to meeting you.
Well, I'm very pleased to meet you, sir.
It has long been my view that popular entertainment has trivialized courage to the point where we no longer value it as we should.
I can't argue with that. I'm certainly undervalued.
Well, most people who come out here are they not, David?
Well, some more than others.
Everywhere there's a criminal element in all societies. This one, still different?
Well, where there's living, there's policemen.
The gospel according to Nathan Spring.
Ah, yes. You said Commander Spring was on...
Away working, sir.
On the Americans.
There's a problem with your countrymen?
No, sir, no problem. Just a routine meeting.
I see. So a routine meeting with the Americans is more important than a first meeting with me?
Well, sir, it's not entirely routine. There's a small problem about putting Star Cops on American stations.
They won't let us.
Obviously, Star Cops was a television show, but in fact there were two novelizations written by Chris Boucher, the main writer and creator of the series, but they weren't mainstream press things. Basically, they were published by an amateur press. And they are still available, and we will put the link to where you can get them from if you're interested in our show notes.
That's actually a fairly small amount of supplementary spin-off products available for, certainly for a British sci-fi show. So it is relatively low profile compared to most other series having a variety of things available rather than just a couple of novels. There is a DVD release of Star Cops available. It's available in the UK only. It's a Region 2 release. Unfortunately, it seems that it is becoming harder to find it. Is it has it not been discontinued or partially discontinued now?
On a website, I heard that the publisher, which is not actually the BBC, it's like a second company that licenses it from the BBC called Network Video, I think they're called, have stopped doing BBC shows now. So it may be that they're not printing anymore. So if you can get hold of it, it may be from stock, you know, in a distributor's warehouse. But that might be why it's harder to get hold of.
It is available at amazon.co.uk, but some of the importers and other retailers don't carry it at this point. So hopefully this means that it's in the process of being associated with a different press and re-released in a new release.
Yeah.
One thing we like to discuss for any of these older series, or relatively older series, is what about the idea of doing a new spin-off series, a new remake, a new audio version, things like that. I'm thinking that Star Cops would make a pretty good remake. I think there would have to be some changes, obviously, with the political thing. Some things were dated. Any new version would have to feel different. But I think there's potential there.
Yeah, one talking of the political thing, actually in the novelizations, which I haven't read, but I've read reviews of, the Russian moon base commander was actually changed to being a Chinese character to reflect the changing political situation, because obviously the novelizations were written since the fall of Soviet Russia. So Chris Boucher did actually change it to match the more recent political developments. There was a recent interview I heard with the lead actor who played Nathan Spring, and he'd actually say that he'd be very keen to do an audio spin-off. Obviously, he's getting a bit old now to play the character on screen. Although it could be interesting if you have a sort of have him as a geriatric commander or something, but he was said he'd be interested in doing something to do with it. So you never know. And certainly other shows like Doctor Who, which is now back on TV, but in its period when it was off air, the main outlet for it was audio. There is an official licensed audio drama series which carried on using not a lot of the actors from the original series in new stories. So that is a possibility, and I think that, certainly from my point of view as a fan, I'd be very keen to see that.
That is actually quite common in the UK to have these audio or radio versions of series that are remade or spun off and continued years later. And they're pretty successful. They do well, both on radio and being sold on CDs and that sort of thing. A remake of Star Cops and a full TV version, I think, would certainly have potential to be good. I don't know how much demand there would be for it, and I don't know how similar it could be to the original series, but it would be interesting to see Chris Boucher or someone else pick up that ball and run with it.
I mean, it's obviously what they predicted hasn't come true as far as the expansion into space, but they're still, the plans that are around now aren't looking too dissimilar to what they were back in 1987, that they were still building PlayStations, there's still plans to go back to the moon. So you could imagine writing something quite similar to reflect the current projections into the future. But as you say, finding an audience is the key thing, and I don't know whether that would fit.
Yes.
There really isn't anything like it. I mean, there have been attempts at, like, I know in the States there was a legal drama that was set in the near future, which was made, which didn't succeed very well, where someone tried to take a standard format and project it into future, because that's really what Star Cops is. You take the standard police procedural drama, but project it into the future. And I think it's a good idea, but it seems to be a hard sell.
I found the writing in Star Cops to be much more interesting than in most typical police dramas. And some of that was because of the science fiction aspect. Some was just because the writing was of good quality and it was generally not very predictable and just made for quite high quality shows. Yeah. So a new series with similar writing, I think, would be great. And it's also true that a lot of the things that were predicted for half a century in the future 20 years ago are still things that you could easily predict for half a century in the future, and they're the same things that we would say could be happening at that time. That is something that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Listen to the kick-ass Mystic Ninjas, or we'll have to get Mystic on your ass.
Oh, ha! Guard! Turn! Parry! Dodge! Feel! Ha! Thrust!
The Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas can only be found at www.kickassmysticninjas.com.
In summary, Star Cops was a series about a police force in space, close to Earth, on the moon and in Earth orbit, set about half a century in the future. And it used a lot of typical police show techniques, but at the same time, a lot of science fiction aspects, and it had some very good writing in it.
Star Cops was basically known as a hard science fiction show set in space with no aliens and with very good writing, as Brian has said.
Now, as for our recommendation of Star Cops, I would say if you can get a hold of this series, because it is a bit of a challenge these days, it's worth watching. There were only, as we said, 9 episodes, and there's some good writing in there. It has definite police show aspects and definite science fiction, near future aspects. It, I would say, is well worth watching.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of my favorite TV shows. And it's, I guess the other thing you say is the sort of style and the quality of the writing is very much like literary written SF. And I think if you're more of a fan of maybe written SF than you are of sort of TV SF, then you might well find something in this to enjoy in the writing. And as Brian said, it's one DVD set to buy, so it's not a big outlay if you have, you know, you're not going to put much at risk if you get hold of this somehow.
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. Any questions, comments, feedback, suggestions, complaints would be welcome, so drop us an email. Our next episode will cover Doctor Who, and that is the classic Doctor Who series that ran from 1963 to 1989.
Thank you all for listening to us talk about StarCops, and see you next time.
Thanks for listening, and this is Brian signing off. Bye.